Chapter 9. We begin now to get pictures of that cheerless mining camp, and to know something of the alternate hopes and discouragements of the hunt for gold. The miner one day soaring on wings of hope, on the next becoming excited, irritable, profane. The names of new mines appear constantly and vanish almost at a touch, suggesting the fairy-like evanescence of their riches. But a few of the letters here will best speak for themselves. Not all of them are needed. It is perhaps unnecessary to say that there is no intentional humor in these documents. To Orion Clemens, in Carson City. Esmeralda, 13th April, 1862. My dear brother, Wasson got here night before last from the wars. Tell Lockhart he is not wounded, and not killed, is altogether unhurt. He says the whites left their stone fort before he and Lute Noble got there. A large amount of provisions and ammunition, which they left behind them, fell into the hands of the Indians. They had a pitched battle with the savages some 50 miles from the fort, in which Scott, Sheriff, and another man was killed. This was the day before the soldiers came up with them. I mean Noble's men, and those under Coles. Evans and Mayfield, from Los Angeles. Evans assumed the chief command, and next morning the forces were divided into three parties, and marched against the enemy. Colonel Mayfield was killed, and Sergeant Gillespie, also Noble's colonel, was wounded. The California troops went back home, and Noble remained, to help drive the stock over here. And, as Cousin Sally Dillard says, this is all I know about the fight. Work not yet begun on the H, and Derby haven't seen it yet. It is still in the snow. She'll begin on it within 3 or 4 weeks, strike the ledge in July. Guess it is good, worth from $30 to $50 a foot in California. Why didn't you send the Ive Yankee D, the very one I wanted? Have made no inquiries about it, much. Don't intend to until I get the deed. Send it along by mail D-NE Express, have to pay 3 times for all express matter, once in Carson and twice here. I don't expect to take the saddlebags out of the express office. I paid 25 CTS for the express deeds. Man named Jeb Hart shot here yesterday while trying to defend a claim on Last Chance Hill. Expect he will die. These mills here are not worth a D-N except Clayton's, and it is not in full working trim yet. Send me $40 or $50 by mail immediately. The Red Bird is probably good, can't work on the tunnel on account of snow. The Ugg I have thrown away, shan't relocate it. It is nothing but bedrock croppings, too much work to find the ledge, if there is one. Shan't record the Yarnum until I know more about it, perhaps not at all. Governor under the snow. Douglas and Ed Bird are both recorded. I have had opportunities to get into several ledges, but refused all but 3, expect to back out of 2 of them. Stir yourself as much as possible, and lay up $100 or $15, 000, subject to my call. I go to work tomorrow, with pick and shovel. Something's got to come, by G, before I let go, here. Colonel Young says you must rent Kinkiet's room by all means. Government would rather pay $150 a month for your office than $75 for General North's. Says you are playing your hand very badly, for either the government's good opinion or anybody's else, in keeping your office in a shanty. Says put Governor Nye in your place, and he would have a stylish office, and no objections would ever be made either. When old Colonel Young talks this way, I think it time to get a fine office. I wish you would take that office, and fit it up handsomely, so that I can omit telling people that by this time you are handsomely located, when I know it is no such thing. I am living with Asho Phillips. Send him one of those black portfolios by the stage, and put a couple of pen holders, and a dozen steel pens in it. If you should have occasion to dispose of the long desk before I return, don't forget to break open the middle drawer and take out my things. Envelop my black cloth coat in a newspaper, and hang it in the back room. Don't buy anything while I am here, but save up some money for me. Don't send any money home. I shall have your next quarter's salary spent before you get it, I think. I mean to make or break here within the next 2 or 3 months. Ears. Sam, the R's mentioned in the opening paragraph of this letter were incident to the trouble concerning the boundary line between California and Nevada. The trouble continued for some time, with occasional bloodshed. The next letter is an exultant one. There were few enough of this sort. We cannot pretend to keep track of the multiplicity of mines and shares which lure the gold hunters, pecking away at the flinty ledges, usually in the snow. It has been necessary to abbreviate this letter, for much of it has lost all importance with the years, and is merely confusing. Hope is still high in the writer's heart, and confidence in his associates still unshaken. Later he was to lose faith in Ash, whether with justice or not we cannot know now. To Orion Clowns, in Carson City. Esmeralda, May 11, 1862. My dear bro. To use a French expression, I have out my DD satisfied at last. 2 years' time will make us capitalists, in spite of anything. Therefore, we need fret and fume, and worry and doubt no more, but just lie still, and put up with privations for 6 months. Perhaps 3 months will let us out. Then, if government refuses to pay the rent on your new office, we can do it ourselves. We have got to wait 6 weeks, anyhow, for a dividend. Maybe longer, but that it will come there is no shadow of a doubt. I have got the thing sifted down to a dead moral certainty. I own 1/8 of the new Onitor Ledge, Clemens Company, and money can't buy a foot of it, because I know it to contain our fortune. The ledge is 6 feet wide, and one needs no glass to see gold and silver in it. Phillips and I own 1/2 of a segregated claim in the Lyaway discovery, and good interests in 2 extensions on it. We put men to work on our part of the discovery yesterday, and last night they brought us some fine specimens. Rock taken from 10 feet below the surface on the other part of the discovery has yielded $150. 000 to the ton in the mill, and we are at work 300 feet from their shaft. May 12, yours by the mail received last night. 1800 feet in the 100. T. Rice's company. Well, I am glad you did not accept of the 200 feet. Tell Rice to give it to some poor man. But hereafter, when anybody holds up a glittering prospect before you, just argue in this wise, viz. That, if all spare change be devoted to working the Onitor and Lyaway, 12 months, or 24 at furthest, we'll find all our earthly wishes satisfied, so far as money is concerned, and the more it we have, the more anxiety we must bear. Therefore, why not say OD-N your prospects? Apostrophe I wait on a sure thing, and a man is less than a man, if he can't wait 2 years for a fortune. When you and I came out here, we did not expect 63 or 64 to find us rich men, and if that proposition had been made, we would have accepted it gladly. Now, it is made. Well, I am willing now that Erie's tunnel, or anybody else's tunnel, shall succeed. Some of them may beat us a few months, but we shall be on hand in the fullness of time, as sure as fate. I would hate to swap chances with any member of the tribe. In fact, I am so lost to all sense and reason as to be capable of refusing to trade Lyaway with but 200 feet in the company of 4 foot 4 foot 4, that splendid Lady Washington, with its lists of capitalist proprietors, and its 35,000 feet of priceless ground. I wouldn't mind being in some of those Clear Creek claims, if I lived in Carson and we could spare the money. But I have struck my tent in Esmeralda, and I care for no mines, but those which I can superintend myself. I am a citizen here now, and I am satisfied, although R and I are strapped, and we haven't 3 days' rations in the house. Rache is looking anxiously for money, and so am one. Send me whatever you can spare conveniently. I wanted to work the flyaway with. My fourth of that claim only cost me $50, which isn't paid yet, though. And I suppose I could sell it here in town for 10 times that amount today, but I shall probably hold on to it till the cows come home. I shall work the monitor and the other claims with my own hands. I prospected of a pound of, yesterday, and Raish reduced it with a blowpipe, and got about 10 or 12 cents in gold and silver, besides the other half of it which we spilt on the floor and didn't get. The specimen came from the croppings, but was a choice one, and showed much free gold to the naked eye. Well, I like the corner upstairs office amazingly provided. It has one fine, large front room superbly carpeted, for the safe and a $150 desk, or such a matter one handsome room amidships, less handsomely gotten up, perhaps, for records and consultations, and one good-sized bedroom and adjoining it a kitchen, neither of which latter can be entered by anybody but yourself, and finally, when one of the ledges begins to pay, the whole to be kept in parlor order by two likely contrabands at big wages, the same to be free of expense to the government. You want the entire second story no less room than you would have had in Harris and Company. Yes, make them fix for you before the 1st of July, for maybe you might want to come out strong on the 4th, you know. No, the post office is all right and kept by a gentleman, but WF Express isn't. They charge 25 CTS to express a letter from here, but I believe they have quit charging twice for letters that arrive prepaid. The lie-away specimen I sent you, taken by myself from Decay's shaft, 300 feet from where we are going to sink, cannot be called hoist, exactly say something above medium, to be on the safe side. But I have seen exceedingly choice chunks from that shaft. My intention at first in sending the antelope specimen was that you might see that it resembles the monitor, but, come to think, a man can tell absolutely nothing about that without seeing both ledges themselves. I tried to break a handsome chunk from a huge piece of my darling monitor which we brought from the croppings yesterday, but it all splintered up, and I send you the scraps. I call that hoist any D-D foolwood. Don't ask if it has been assayed, for it hasn't. It don't need it. It is amply able to speak for itself. It is 6 feet wide on top, and traversed through and through with veins whose color proclaims their worth. What the devil does a man want with any more feet, when he owns in the flyaway, and the invincible bomb-proof monitor? If I had anything more to say, I have forgotten what it was, unless, perhaps, that I want a sum of money anywhere from $20 to $150, as soon as possible. Raish sends regards. Here I, one will drop a line to the G occasionally. I suppose you saw my letters in the Enterprise. Here. Bro, Sam, P.S. I suppose Pamela never will regain her health, but she could improve it by coming to California provided the trip didn't kill her. You see, Bixby is on the flagship. He always was the best pilot on the Mississippi, and deserves his osish. They have done a reckless thing, though, in putting Sam Bowen on the one, for if a bombshell happens to come his way, he will infallibly jump overboard. Send me another package of those envelopes, per Bagley's coat pocket. We see how anxious he was for his brother to make a good official showing. If a niggardly government refused to provide decent quarters, no matter, the miners, with gold pouring in, would themselves pay for a suite superbly carpeted, and all kept in order by woe likely contrabands, that is to say, Negroes. Samuel Clemens in those days believed in expansion and impressive surroundings. His brother, though also mining mad, was rather inclined to be penny-wise in the matter of office luxury, not a bad idea, as it turned out. Orion, by the way, was acquiring it on his own account, and in one instance, at least, seems to have won his brother's commendation. The Enterprise letters mentioned we shall presently hear of again. To Orion Clemens, in Carson City. Esmeralda, Sunday, May 1862. My dear brother, well, if you haven't struck it rich, that is, if the piece of rock you sent me came from a bona fide ledge, and it looks as if it did. If that is a ledge, and you own 200 feet in it, why, it's a big thing and I have nothing more to say. If you have actually made something, by helping to pay somebody's prospecting expenses, it is a wonder of the first magnitude, and deserves to rank as such. If that rock came from a well-defined ledge, that particular vein must be at least an inch wide, judging from this specimen, which is fully that thick. When I came in the other evening, hungry and tired and ill-natured, and threw down my pick and shovel, Raish gave me your specimen, said Bagley brought it, and asked me if it were a neighbor. I examined it by the waning daylight, and took the specks of fine gold for sulfurous rhodium. I did not think much of it and posted the letter immediately. But as soon as I looked at it in the broad light of day, I saw my mistake. During the week, we have made 3 horns, got a blowpipe, and see, and yesterday, all prepared, we prospected the mountain house. I broke the specimen in 2, and found it full of fine gold inside. Then we washed out 1/4 of it, and got a noble prospect. This we reduced with the blowpipe, and got about 2 cents, herewith enclosed, in pure gold. As the fragment prospected weighed rather less than an ounce, this would give about $500 to the ton. We were eminently well satisfied. Therefore, hold on to the mountain house, for it is a big thing. Touch it lightly, as far as money is concerned, though, for it is well to reserve the code of justice in the matter of quartz ledges, that is, consider them all and their owners guilty of shenanigan until they are proved innocent. P.S. Monday Ratio and I have bought 1/2 of a segregated claim in the original Lyway for $100, $50 down. We haven't a cent in the house. We too will work the ledge and have full control and pay all expenses. If you can spare $100 conveniently, let me have it or $50, anyhow, considering that I own 1/4 of this, it is of course more valuable than 1/17 of the mountain house, although not so rich. Dot. There is too much of a sameness in the letters of this period to use all of them. There are always new claims, and work done, apparently without system or continuance, hoping to uncover sudden boundless affluence. In the next letter and the one following it, we get a hint of an episode, or rather of 2 incidents which he combined into an episode in Roughing It. The story as told in that book is an account of what might have happened, rather than history. There was never really any money in the Lindley of the Wide West claim, except that which was sunk in it by unfortunate investors. Only extracts from these letters are given. The other portions are irrelevant, and of slight value. Extract from a letter to Orion Clemens, in Carson City. 1862. 2 or 3 of the old Alena Company entered our hole on the monitor yesterday morning, before our men got there, and took possession, armed. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.